Hi, welcome to our podcast, Where Next? Travel with Kristen and Carol. I am Kristen.
And I am Carol.
And we're two long-term friends with a passion for travel and adventure.
Each episode, we interview people around the globe to help us decide where to go next.
In today's episode, we are meeting with Ruben. Born in Ecuador and now living in California, Ruben shares the variety of natural beauty of his homeland. From the Galapagos Islands to the 19,000-foot mountain ranges of the Andes to the pink dolphins. Enjoy.
Welcome, Ruben. We really appreciate you talking about Ecuador today with us.
Thank you.
So you live here in the Bay Area in the U.S., but you're from Ecuador. And
yeah, so I used to live in Marin County, and it's interesting that I grew up in Quito. So I grew up in a big city, in a, surrounded by buildings. And once we moved to San Rafael, I went all over Marin, and I ended up in Mill Valley. And that's where I actually got to meet a lot of people that were into like surfing, biking, and of course, hiking. And that's where I learned to love nature more than ever. And you know, literally, like, people go to the store instead of driving, they will walk. And so I started doing that. And that's where I think I got this call to, you know, explore more nature. And there's different regions people are drawn to, I will say. So I was going to go to this little surf town called Ayampe. And that place, it's very popular with foreigners that go there. And there's, you know, people that spend maybe like 1 or 2 months there surfing, and it's very enjoyable. I ended up going to another place. In my case, I went to a very small fishing town. And that is because for me, I wanted to just have quiet and peace. And even my sister, who lives in Quito, which is, again, a big city, she was surprised and enjoyed. Of course, the weather's nicer there, very tropical, very humid. It's right in the equator. So expect that also to be like, you know, very like Miami, but a little bit even warmer than Miami. So just to give you an idea. But in any case, so she was very surprised that, you know, people will say good morning, good night when I'm on the streets. And that's what I enjoyed. So there's little fishing towns like that where, you know, nothing really happens. But if you want something more developed and into surfing, there's those type of places too, by the coast. And then finally, of course, by the coast, it's the Galapagos, which everybody knows. And, you know, it's very developed. And, you know, the Galapagos Islands.
Oh, the Galapagos Islands. Okay. Yeah.
So my tip on that will be that I was lucky enough to go with a small group of 12 people in the small boat that was being run by this local guy who was born in the Galapagos. And for me, that was more enjoyable. Again, it's because I was able to interact closely with different people, and a couple of them, they were musicians. So from one island to another, it will be like maybe 6 hours, 7 hours from sometimes. So during that time, you know, they will play music, we'll have fun. And why I'm bringing that up is versus like going to in a cruise ship where, you know, you want to have like big buffets. It depends whatever people like. So you have
most
those
of our
two
crowd isn't doing the buffets and the other thing. They're just going there to live and like really experience and that kind of thing. And I was curious. Yeah. Okay. So Galapagos Islands, right? I know that term. I didn't know it was in Ecuador, and I'm looking at the map right now and I see off the shore, there's like a whole bunch of little islands up there. It says Seymour, Isla Isabella. Are you talking about those?
Yeah, those are the Galapagos Islands. So Isabella is the main island. That's where the airport is. Actually, my friend, they are doing also like in Panama, this jaguar conservation project. It's called Caminando with a K. He did like his PhD there for 2 years. There's a lot of research, which is good. You know, a lot of biologists go there to do their research. And it's also very developed. And it's, you know, very expensive from what I hear also to go there.
Did you say Panama?
Yeah, my friend's project is in Panama. And they are studying, they're trying to gather data about jaguars, Nobody has ever done that. So I think for about 3 years, they have been doing that. And I've gone with them to the Mamoni Valley, the rainforest there. So they set up cameras. We go retrieve the SIM cards to gather the data and see what areas of the jungle in Panama, you know, it's their territory, like trying to come up with the headcount of how many jaguars live there, how many are just passing through, and the impact, of course, of cattle, people that are raising cattle there, so stuff like that. So he did the research then there, for example, in the Galapagos Islands for 2 years, and it's because it's a protected area. It is also very, very, very beautiful because you are able to see all kinds of birds, you know, sea lions, and very, you know, within reach. Of course, you know, you are advised not to get too close because, you know, it will affect their health. You know, they get anxious. So, but yeah, people are amazed. And, you know, of course I was like very, very amazed also how accessible that is. And that brings me to the previous area, like, if you wanted to like see like very, very beautiful beaches there, there's one called Turtle.
And so now is Galapagos. Yeah. Is that part of Ecuador?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The beach was called Turtle Beach, you said?
Yeah, it's very beautiful. If you look it up right now, you will see it's very white. It's very, very, yeah.
And it's Isabella?
Isabella is the main island where everything is like hotels. That's where the cruise ships are. So it's very developed. So that's where you will land. And then from there, you will take a boat like we did and then go to like these different islands that have different types of iguanas. And then from one island, you go to another one. Again, it's like 5-6 hours trip.
The Tortuga Beach picture looks amazing.
It's similar to Hawaii, I believe, you know, like, of course, the volcanic scenery. Yeah, that Tortuga Beach, it was not in the main island. So the one I'm referring is there. It's Tortuga Bay.
Yeah.
And that's very, very beautiful too. So
is that the same as Turtle Beach?
In Ecuador, we call it Tortuga Bay, yeah.
So. Okay. Oh my gosh. And which island was that on? You said Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
Okay.
The island Isabella looks like the housing is not that expensive. I see some hotels under $100 a night.
Yeah.
Time of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. You would expect maybe to be more, but yeah, I don't know. I think most people, again, this, when I went there, it was a long, long time ago. Everything was included, but we slept in the boat because literally like we'll go from one island to another one. We'll sleep in the boat. Then what it was like really great for me also was like, you know, under the boat, it was like all glass. So you can see actually, you know, the fish and literally like they will be fishing like for our lunch. And there's like sharks. We went snorkeling. And so it's very, very, very beautiful. And in our case, you know, we just slept in the boat. So, yeah.
But, wow. Very neat.
And the islands look so close together. So Galapagos, got it. Looks like it has seven. There's like little islands. And then there's.
And so that's why I was telling you earlier, for example. So I don't remember the name of the island that my friend was doing his research. For example, he was studying these marine turtles. So for 2 years, he was telling me like, you know, they will come and drop off food for him. But he, I believe, was living in this island. I don't know, while he was doing the research. So some of these islands do allow, you know, tourists to come and visit. Some of them, they don't. They are part of the research that I was mentioning before, in some cases at least. So,
Ruben, did you fly in and then take the boat around, or do you take the boat all
Yeah.
the way there? Okay.
Yeah. So the way that it works is you will buy a package, you go to a travel agency, or you can even do it from here. And then if you, like me, I was in Quito, I had to fly to Guayaquil, which is the main port there in Ecuador. And so from there, if I'm not mistaken, it's like 1 hour and 30 minutes or one hour and 40 minutes. So. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I see it on the map. It's not too far. So yes. Kind of a little farther, like San Francisco to San Diego.
Exactly. So you.
And then did you fly to Isla Isabella?
Yeah, the main island, Isabella Island. Yes.
Got it. Okay. Wow. So you have just total tropics there. The picture that I saw of you was, how high were you? It had to have been over 14,000 feet.
Yeah, so I've gone to a couple of them.
Yeah.
The one that I went this January is called Cayambe. And the elevation in here, I'm looking at it, is close to 19,000 feet.
So, oh, my goodness. So, what? What's it called?
Cayambe.
Starts with
how do you spell it?
Cayambe.
Cayambe.
And I think I saw people. Did people have oxygen masks or oxygen with them? No,
they were probably just covering. Yeah, it's interesting because I also have gone to Mount Whitney here, and then some people that are interested on going to South America, sometimes they start asking questions about acclimatization and things like that. So some of them they recommend, you know, like bringing medicine or oxygen. In Ecuador, I will say that the key is to acclimatize, to get there, to Quito. So Quito is very high up still. And then from there, there's a lot of beautiful mountains just nearby, like the one that I told you, actually, that's like maybe 2 hours away. Then there's Cotopaxi. That's the other one that I was going to tell you that I really, really, really like a lot. And I went there. So Cayambe, I went, actually, I remember it's 24th of 2022. Uh-huh. And then I went to the Cotopaxi. That one's very famous.
How do you spell that?
Cotopaxi is Cotopaxi. Like I was going to spend like maybe 5 or 6 days acclimatizing. Maybe that's not enough, but you know, you can start going to a smaller peaks. Then from there, what usually you start progressing until you are able to go to like Cotopaxi, Cayambe after, you know. And usually there's what is also good, and I should point out versus here, for example, in the US, when I go to Mount Whitney, I just go with people that included myself. And that's why I'm taking rock climbing classes now, that we don't really know all the ins and outs about the terrain, the condition of the snow, things like that. And what is different is in Ecuador, the only way that you can go to like certain mountains like Cotopaxi and Cayambe, it's with a certified guide. When I went to Cayambe in this December, for example, there were two German citizens with an international guide. Actually, this guy was from Ecuador, but he was a guide in South America, certified for South America and Europe. Then my guide was like certified for Ecuador. And then there was a Spaniard gentleman with another Ecuadorian certified guide. But we all had our own guides. And that's also, I think, is a good thing for people that want to do this, that, you know, you know you're going to be in good hands, basically, you know. And also what is very important is that it's very affordable, like literally like for $40, you can. And when I tell this to people, and it's incredible, really, I mean, for me, it's like super inexpensive. You know, for example, you can go to one of those mountains where you go and prepare to reach these higher mountains. One of them is called Ilinisa, which is right across from Cotopaxi. Anyways, you pay $40. And what they do is they pick you up in downtown Quito. They give you lunch. They bring you transportation and a certified guide. For Cotopaxi, it's more expensive, though. You I paid, I think, for that one, like $300 to $400. You are assured that you're going to be taken care of. So these people that are really serious about, you know, going to Mount Everest, I mean, the Himalayas, I should say, what they do is they come to Ecuador, they train there, and then they go to the Himalayas and do their thing. So,
and I'm looking at the weather. So since it's so near the equator, but it's up high, it looks like the high in Fahrenheit 60 in the 60s all year round.
Yeah.
That's part.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yes. And so, yeah, you're right. So a lot of people, when I tell them I'm from Ecuador, they said, oh yeah, it must be hot. And then when I tell them, no, I'm from the Andes, which is like, I explained to them, you know, that's, it's like very high up. It's like almost, I mean, 9,000 feet. I explained to them that what's different with Ecuador also, we don't have like different seasons. We only have like a rainy season, which is happening right now. Quito is set up in that mountain, which is called Pichincha, but basically it's a volcano. And that's where, for example, if you were to go to any other mountain, your guide will tell you, you need to go, you know, run. It's called Pichincha, which is the mountain where Quito sits. And you know, it's not active, but that's a volcano. And so that's where Quito is sitting, like, you know, right next to a volcano. And before
looks like
I forget,
there's several volcanoes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you. So right now, if you look on the news, it might come up. If you look for Cotopaxi, in my case, I was lucky to go there because right now it's active, and so they are already like having drills in case it erupts, and hopefully it will not erupt, but it's active right now. So for that reason, you know, of course, people are not allowed to climb. I think it started, if I'm not mistaken, early November of last year. You never know when they're going to become active. So the Cayambe is a volcano, really. So Cotopaxi is a volcano. The volcano where Quito sits, you know. Quito, for example, Quito is like very developed. So, you know, you can go to a cafe, you will feel like you are here in certain areas, of course. So within Quito, there's the north part, which is very developed. And then what they call the center of the city, which means really like the colonial part. That's where you will see like a lot of like architecture that is dates back to the colonial times. So, and then another city that people are drawn to because of that colonial architecture is called Cuenca. That's where a lot of foreigners go there, actually. And it's very, very.
And how do you spell that one?
Cuenca is
C-U-E-N-C-A. Cuenca.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And also because of the weather, you know, like it's very, 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 very good climate around there. So, yeah.
Oh, there. It's in the southern part, it looks like.
Yeah. And then the last part, which I've also have had, you know, enjoyed very much my visits, are the rainforest, which is the last section, I will say, of Ecuador. So the places that a lot of people go, and to be honest, I haven't, is called Yasuni National Park. So it's Yasuni.
That's the rainforest, is there, you're saying?
Yeah. So if you look at pictures there, you will see like it's very, very green, and it's supposed to be one of the most biodiverse places in the world because, I don't know, I think it's like a square meter. You'll find these different types of animals, insects, whatever.
Place beautiful. Like,
yeah, you will find like.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So rainforest. So high mountains, rock climbing, rainforest, natural reserves in the Galapagos, and then, of course, beach and surfing, right? Wow. Ecuador has a lot to offer.
Yeah.
Definitely. Do you have to drive to that national park, or is there any trains that go out that way?
Yeah, no, there's two ways. So I was going to tell you that I haven't been to the Yasuni. I've been to Napo area, which is the province, and then specifically where I went, it's called Cuyabeno. That's very beautiful too.
How do you spell that?
It's not, let's see. C-U-Y-A-B-E-N-O. You can look at the images in Google and you will get an idea of like echo resorts they have. Yeah.
There's an interesting dolphin.
Yeah, they have pink dolphins there.
Pink, yes. Pink dolphins.
Yeah, so like, for example, I don't remember. I think it's called just Cuyabeno Echo Lodge, where we went with my ex-girlfriend, and then we stayed there. The way that you get there is you will have two options. You can fly or you can take the bus, or of course, if you have your own car. But to get to these places that are very secluded, the way that it works is then we went to the main city it's called Napo, in the province. Anyways, so you go to the riverbank. From the riverbank, you get picked up by the ecologists in a canoe with a motor. And then let's say they load up, you know, maybe six clients. And then again, it's like a good 5, sometimes 6 hours into the jungle. And that's like really, really beautiful for me too, because like, you know, like you are really out there. So, and then our experience was, well, at least I will tell you, my ex-girlfriend, she's from here. So she, of course, compromised because she said, you know, I don't like bugs. And, you know, and I told her that, you know, it's going to be like an echo lodge, and, you know, it's beautiful. I mean, it's not like we're going camping, so, but there's no windows. And then since she was afraid of insects, you know, I didn't realize like in my feet, I felt something, but it was like, yeah, you know, these insects and things like that. But again, like the food is very good. And what I really liked was that, and for me, it was mind blowing kind of, when in the mornings, instead of, you know, hearing, you know, the roosters wake us up, you will hear the howling monkeys, you know.
Like, oh, because, I know those.
Yeah. So for me, it was like, yeah, for me, it was the first time, like, you know, when I woke up, like then it was beautiful to see them. So
they sound like T-Rex to me, because I was in Costa Rica. It was as the sun was rising and there was a howler monkey right next to my hut in the mm-hmm. jungle. I was in the Osa Peninsula and I literally jumped out of bed because it sounded like a T-Rex, like it's this little monkey.
Oh, yeah. I went to Tikal in Guatemala too. And yeah. when I was going to check in, they were so loud. I was so scared.
Yeah.
And then one time I went on my own because I thought, like, you know, it's so beautiful, I want to go on my own. And then literally, the same thing. I got scared because I knew they were following me. So I got scared and I just ran away. But
once you know what it is, but in Osa, I got to where I was going and I was going to go hiking and I was actually the only person there. And I heard it and I turned back around and went back.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to find out what that is.
Yeah. No, in my case, you know, I thought, like, I'm not going to show fear, but he was like literally like shaking the leaves on top of me. So then I thought, okay, just in case, I'm going to just keep going faster. So, but yeah, another one that I want to mention to you, because this one is like very beautiful and it's one day I might venture to go. Because I know it's a little bit expensive, but it's very, looks beautiful. It's called Napo Wildlife Center Echo Lodge. So if you look it on Google and see the pictures.
How do you spell Napo?
Napo is N-A-P-O.
Yeah, perfect.
Echo Lodge.
There we are.
Yeah.
These are amazing. I know where I want to go now.
I know. Like, Kristen is all over this. She's so deep nature.
And then in the coast, you can go to these surf towns or you can go to these very quiet fishing towns. The Galapagos Islands, well, there's no choice. You know, it's full of people where you are allowed to go. And then finally, in the mountains, it's the same thing. You can go to, like, you know, very developed areas, or you can go. And that's why I think I liked also going rock climbing, because we will go literally to these very rural areas. So that's, for me, like, one of the best things is that, you know, like you still are able to, and again, within 1 hour, be in these very rural areas and, you know, enjoy a lot of outdoors activities. And if you don't feel like staying there, you can just get back to the big city in Quito and just stay in your hotel or whatever. So yeah.
Well, I forgot to also ask, which we do, food. What are the traditional foods that folks eat over there?
So I will say, of course, it's it varies, again, within the different regions because of its proximity by the coast. They eat a lot of seafood.
What's the typical, like, tropical fruits and other things, breads that they typically make?
Oh, yeah. So my favorite fruit, which in Europe I found, but not here, I think they call it lulu. We call it naranjilla, and it is grows, I believe, only, if I'm correct, I know in Ecuador and in Colombia. But if you look, I think it's lulu fruit. Lulo, L-U-L-O.
Okay. Oh, it says a combination of kiwi, citrus, and pineapple.
No, but honestly, like, that's my favorite fruit. And, you know, my family know about that because, like, it's very hard to come by, but it's very, very, very delicious. So that will be my favorite juice. And, you know, it's very inexpensive. And, you know, because it's so accessible when traveling, you know, take advantage to buy fresh fruit on the market and eat. And that's the food in the coast. It's very similar, I will say, to some degree, to Peruvian food, to give you an idea, like the seafood aspect of it. And then in the mountain range, in the Andes, of course, because what is more accessible to us, and I include myself because I grew up there, you have corn, potatoes, different types of flour. So, like, my mom, she cooks a lot of, like, great soups with different types of flour. You know, we eat guinea pigs. And for me, at some point, I was thinking, like, you know, I don't like it anymore. But then my niece, she's a doctor in Ecuador, and she sent me an article explaining how much, you know, vitamins and different type of things you get out of the guinea pig that is actually very healthy to eat, you know. For so then I thought, okay, I didn't eat it this time, but maybe next time I will eat it. We eat a lot of rice too, actually, corn, rice, potatoes, and different kinds of, like, goat, beef, meat, basically. So yeah.
Wow, who knew guinea pigs were eaten? I never would have thought of that. That's definitely different.
Yeah. So if you wanna look at cuy, that's what we call it. C-U-Y.
Does it taste like normal pigs? Does it taste like pork?
So I've used to work in a French restaurant, so I've eaten venison, and that's what it reminds me a little bit like. It's between duck, I will say. The description is duck and venison. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very rich. So on the rainforest, you know, since they have rivers and wild animals, basically they just eat, you know, fish from the river and whatever they catch up.
And I'm assuming there's beautiful beaches on the coast that have amazing beach towns as well.
Some of them, the ones that I mentioned, yeah, but, you know, there's other ones that are more developed. Like, one of them is called Montañita. But that's literally like a party town.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's a little something for everyone. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember when I went there, they had, like, music until 2, 3, 4 a.m.
That sounds so fun. And Carol, I don't know if you have a few
rapid fire. So when you're there, what do you have for breakfast? Do you have these lulo fruit, or is there like a, you know, I still think of, I don't know, empanadas or something. I don't really know the type of food down there.
So we have what they call here tamales, right? Yeah. So they make Mexican have the tamales. So we have something very similar, but it's sweet. It's called humitas. We call it humitas, but it's basically the same, very similar. I like to eat that too. Like, in the morning, I eat one of those with coffee and cheese.
Okay. Is there stuff? What's it stuffed with?
It's just corn, but the difference for me, which I like, there's with sugar or without sugar. I like the one with sugar. By the coast, we have different types of bananas. So on the coast, for breakfast, they eat green plantains. They are mashed. They are filled with cheese inside. So in the mornings, people eat that, like green plantains fried with cheese, and then you have coffee. So
okay, you guys win the best breakfast. Everywhere else we've interviewed, it's always been yogurt, granola, oatmeal. I swear, across the board, I've never heard this before. This sounds very unique. And then I was going to go to what is money? What's the money called there? Have I got a peso of some sort? Or
no, it's a dollar. And that's because it used to be called Sucre, which is named after one of the revolutionaries that free us from the Spaniards. Anyways, so, but because of the devaluation of the sucre, eventually we became dollarized. And to this day, we use the dollar and to bring economic stability, yes.
And how does the American dollar strength, like we get a lot for money as an American going down there? Was it like going to Mexico or Belize or something?
Yes. It's still in Quito, you can get lunch for $2.50, which my friend was telling me, like, maybe in Mexico, maybe you get a little bit, you know, more. I don't know. But for me, at least, you know, I think $2.50 for lunch, it's not bad.
And that's good.
And
than the Bay Area, that's for sure, right? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No, or like I told you, like, so, and I keep telling people that I know, since I do, like, mountaineering, I tell them, like, think about it. When are you going to get, like, for $40, they drive you, give you lunch, a certified guide, and bring you to a mountain for $40? It's like the price of a pizza almost, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So over here, you will not even cover for the gas. So,
yeah. Well, and I was curious, what would you say, where's the best surf in Ecuador?
Ayampe, actually. That's where...
Oh, that's right. You said that in the beginning. How do you spell that?
Sure. Ayampe.
Okay. I'll have to check that one out too.
Yeah, that's more peaceful. So another place also is Montañita, the one that I told you, but that's like party town, like literally like, and I don't know, since I don't surf, I don't know if like about the surfing, if the surfing's there better or whatever, but yeah.
What was the second place called?
Montañita. It's like mountain in Spanish, but little mountain, Montañita.
Okay. This has been incredible. And I think you just completely opened our eyes to Ecuador as nothing we would, you know, didn't think it wasn't on the radar until you and I started talking a while back. And I thought, oh my gosh, I would love for you to share. And
yeah. So and that's a good point, because for me, I feel like kind of like where I live, I live in Richmond Heights, which is basically right next to El Cerrito Hills. But right here to my left, I can see the cows, the hills, and it's so beautiful. So it's kind of like a little secret. It's good that not too many people know. And that's how I feel about Ecuador.
What's the language that's spoken?
English, but there's people speak Quechua, and it's the Inca language, some outskirts. And then I forgot also, you reminded me, there's another big town, is big for textiles, it's called Otavalo. So they have a big market. Over there, they speak Quechua. It's one of the biggest cities, very developed. And what is really nice is that these people still maintain their indigenous customs. You know, they still dress using their original clothing. And what is really good is that the men let the hair grow long, and that's their custom. You know, so when you go there, for example, you see like these men, you know, still wearing their long hairs. And what is really interesting is that they still, you know, they talk in this other language.
How do you spell the town that you mentioned?
Otavalo. So it's, let's see, O-T-A. Uh-huh. V-A-L-O.
Okay, exactly like I did it. Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, all the words are very phonetically spelled. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can find it easy, which is which is good. Love it. Thank you so much. This was incredible. And what an experience. I'm looking it up on the map because I'd like to see where it is in relation to where we're at. But okay, so it's above Quito, which is kind of towards the rainforest, the Napo Wildlife Center off to the side. So you can do a lot there, and you can go to the mountains, and you can go and sit in the Galapagos Islands.
And just to confirm that I heard this right, pink dolphins.
Oh, yeah, I saw the picture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They look almost like they're albino.
Yeah, so set there. And when I went to Cuyabeno, for example, we did see a couple of them because we went to this lagoon there. So they...
Freshwater, or is it seawater?
No, it's freshwater, so that's why there it's also different. And yeah, and it's all, not only Ecuador, but in the Amazon, that's where they live. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. I really appreciate all your time. We could have spent another hour, but I think we got a lot in there. So I think people will really enjoy a trip.
Yes. That was the idea, that I find it very, very relaxing and different to go to the very secluded rural areas that are not yet discovered. And so since there's still a lot of areas like that, you know, I want to be able to, for people to enjoy that, you know, that aspect of Ecuador. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, have a wonderful weekend, and I'll be reaching out to you soon for sure.
All right. Yeah, no problem.
Nice
have
to meet
a
you
nice
you.
Weekend.
Take care.
Nice meeting you too.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, can you please take a second and do a quick follow of the show and rate us in your podcast app? And if you have a minute, we would really appreciate a review. Following and rating is the best way to support us. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. We're at Where Next Podcast. Thanks again.